Well, it's always a pleasure to come to Washington, D.C. and catch up with the Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins. How are you?
Scott, we're so good. Didn't have much sleep last night, but we're riding really high on what I believe was one of the greatest State of the Unions I've ever seen.
What did you like best about it?
You know, I felt like it was a declaring triumph against all odds a year ago with everything that we inherited, to see where we are a year in. And listen, we got a lot of work to do. This is not by any means, you know, the victory is done and now we can retire right off into the sunset. There's still so much to do, especially in agriculture, but I'm just so proud of what we've accomplished, of the president's leadership, of the new trade deals, of the secure border, of the inflation being down, of wage rates being up. I mean, it'll go down in history as one of the most consequential years in our history of our country.
You know, the ag products, that the deals that have been done because of the tariffs, I don't think gets enough credit.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about it from the perspective of farmers who, I'm sure you know, in our part of the world,
yes,
are a little crabby about tariffs.
That's right.
But when they see a deal with China coming down the track, they think, okay, you know, obviously the soybeans thing. Just talk a little bit about overall your report card on the tariffs and how it's benefited our farmers.
There have been a lot of people who have really doubted this approach, and for good reason. These are, you know, this was a complete, other than Alexander Hamilton in the late 1800s and that kind of first five decades of American history where we really relied on tariffs to build the American base and to put America first. That's what set our country, you know, to where we are today, the most important, most successful, wealthiest beacon of freedom the world's ever seen. That's because of what Alexander Hamilton, I think, set forth in 1896. Having said that, we'd gotten so far away from it over the last 100 years, we'd really begun to rely on income taxes and other taxes. And as we did that, we saw a hollowing out of our manufacturing base. We saw America's farmers and ranchers, you know, be bought up by foreign companies, American companies too, but foreign companies as well. We saw us begin to rely on other countries. We saw the average tariff of our goods going out of America into other countries at 15%, while America was charging 5%. The inequity of it all inured to the benefit of so many other countries around the world, but not to our country and our people. And the president said, I'm gonna change it. And every newspaper said he was stupid. You know, every major media outlet said he was ruining America. And instead, almost a year in, what we've seen, 15 new trade deals. We've seen an increase of dairy exports up almost 20%, corn exports up 29%. And this is just in the first year. We haven't even really effectuated most of these deals yet. Soybeans has been really caught in the crosshairs. We probably time for your part of the country. Certainly that's a big one. Soybeans has been a big part of the discussion. I joke that I think never before in the history of our country has soybeans ever been discussed more in an Oval Office than in this presidency, and it's true. But when you look at last year, even though there was some touch and go there, we actually had a higher price on soybeans with the tariffs and with the exports than we had in the prior years. So that's just the beginning. Again, there's so much more work to do, but we're seeing the fruits of the labor begin to really, no pun intended, the fruits of the labor, we're beginning to really see that come to fruition. You know, a lot of people are nervous with the tariff Supreme Court decision that China may start backing out. Other countries may start backing out, but talking about China specifically, they committed to that 25 million metric tons of soybeans over the next 3 years. We're not even in those 3 years yet. We're still in the 12 million that they committed to that they have met. We think there are more big orders coming in. So the Supreme Court decision looks to be like it won't have any effect, if anything, maybe even a positive effect, as Jamison Greer and Scott Bessent and others continue to nail these deals down.
Also in our part of the world, obviously, Canada is a great ag trading partner. Give us an update on how things are coming with that deal.
Well, I met with the Secretary of Agriculture, my counterpart. I guess the Ag Counselor is the official title, but basically my counterpart just yesterday over at USDA. We did a wonderful bilateral meeting. The importance of that partner cannot be understated. We were both very bullish and encouraged that we're going to be able to do some great things. You know, he's obviously focused on Canada. I'm obviously hyper focused on America, but it's an important partner just as Mexico is as well. And I think that this team, I know that this team recognizes that. The discussions are already beginning. The president is hyper focused on getting somewhere very positive with Canada. And I think we're going to see some really good news soon.
When you say soon, give me an idea how soon.
I never want to get ahead of my boss, and certainly don't want to box anyone in our team in. But the talks are ongoing. I am in constant conversation with my counterpart. I certainly know Jamison Greer and our trade team is as well. So hopefully in the next quarter, we're going to see some good news.
I'm not sure the American people have the recognition of how tough farming has been of late. Obviously, inflation killed them with input costs.
Yes.
If you go line by line of cost of production versus the prices they're getting, been upside down for 4 or 5 years.
That's right.
We hear a lot about debt, potting on top of debt and mental health issues and everything else.
Yes.
Speak to the farmer about that. The farmers out there that are really worried about what the future looks like and whether their kids are going to be able to take over the farm.
For me personally, this is the single most important thing I will do, if I'm able, is to build the infrastructure to change the trajectory of farming in America. And by that I mean not just the last 4 or 5 years, but to be, especially in the row crop business, but really all of agriculture, but for our row croppers to only make money every 2 of 10 years, which is the average, to be reliant on a government check. These farmers are the most proud, the most pioneering, they are the best of us. They are the best of America, and they are whom I have worked in Washington over the last year to put back at the center of policy making. It is unsustainable for us to continue to issue check after check after check. A, because the farmers are still barely surviving. They are surviving. We have to have it. We will continue to do it as long as we need to. But you see their bottom line continues to struggle even with those checks. Where you see the benefit of all the government support going is the shocking rise of fertilizer, seed, tractors, trucks. So the system has become so dysfunctional that as we are working to make sure these farmers can survive, they're barely surviving, but others are getting rich off of the program. So we've got to change that. That's why these trade deals are so important, opening up the markets. That's why the MAHA movement, you know, it's a little prickly, and we know that. Bobby Kennedy and I have a couple things we disagree on, but for the most part, putting the American farmer and rancher back at the center of our diets, our dietary guidelines, ensuring we have younger farmers that can enter the market and begin to farm and ranch is really important. And the mental health of this on the back end, I'm going to be announcing something very soon on that. I don't sleep much anyway, but I'm really not sleeping much as I'm really trying to work with our team to figure out how to mitigate this. I do think that we are in a once in a generation opportunity with this president at this moment in time to really make real change, to not band-aid, to not duct tape, to not bubblegum, to get to the next year and the next year. And that's what I'm really focused on.
One area that farmers have really been innovative, especially in our part of the world, is value-added agriculture.
Yes.
and biofuels. And we have a potato processing plant going up. We have soybean crushing plants that are popping up. We have, of course, the ethanol plants. A lot of that community is watching very closely on 45Z. I know the language that came out of the Treasury Department was favorable. Now there's obviously a comment period. Can you give some folks in our part of the world related to biofuels some hope on 45Z and what you expect to come out of the final product?
It isn't final yet. Don't want to get ahead of the game. I realize that sometimes when I say things, it moves markets, so I need to be careful. But our community will be very, very happy, I believe, when they see where this has landed. So again, we're not at the finish line yet. We're at the 2-yard line scoring, but it's going to be very important, very encouraging, and we've worked really hard on that.
So when do you expect to have that clarity?
That should be the next 30 days, very, very soon. It is in the final process. It's gone through what we'll call the principles. So I had several meetings with my counterparts across the cabinet to work really hard to move this in the direction that's most beneficial to our farmers. And huge credit to Lee Zeldin, to Doug Burgum, to Chris Wright, to Howard Lutnick, to Scott Bessent. I mean, this rose to the level of the very top of our government, talking about 45Zs and renewable volume obligations and all of the thing. And everyone, after lots of discussion, and I would always come stacked with a big pile of information to make sure that they understood how important this was to the very heartbeat of America. And by the end, I think everybody did, and I think the outcome is going to be incredibly positive.
One last question for you. Obviously, last night, the Democrats had an awful night, and I almost looked down on them and felt sad. It's like there's just hard to say this about another human being, but a soullessness about them, just an emptiness and an anger and everything else. To those Democrats or anyone that is not a fan of your boss, the 47th President of the United States, which the vast majority of our audience is, what would you want them to know about Donald Trump that they don't know, they should know?
You know, as I sat there, it's such an incredible question. Other than John Fetterman, who was jumping up the Pennsylvania senator, who has proven himself to be very, reasonable and supports a lot of what we're working on. It does break my heart to see the bitterness and the divisiveness of the other side. And how, now I will say this year there was a little more clapping than last year, so I think we made a little progress on that. But what I will say is this: on Friday morning, as I was sitting there last night, I was thinking about this 3 days ago. Friday morning, we had all the governors at the White House, no press, Republican and Democrat. And a few of them didn't come. Gavin Newsom wasn't there. Tim Walsh from Minnesota wasn't there. But pretty much every other Democrat and Republican was there. No cameras. And the president was so lovely and funny and kind. And he had a great exchange with Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York. And he said, I am here for all of you. And I love the governors. These are his words. He said, I want every state to be great again, and I want every governor to succeed. Of course, he's so funny. He's like, now I want the Republicans to succeed a little bit more. But he said, in all seriousness, call me anytime. And I thought, if only America could see this, but the mainstream media won't report it. And so it is what it is. But I do think that we're getting the message out. I think that thanks to you and others like you who are helping us make sure that the average American can hear our story, knows we're fighting for them, know that for us, this is existential. We're battling for the soul of the country. And there may be some days we don't do it right, but we are doing the very best we can. God is on our side. I believe he's got his hand on this work. The prayers are working. The shield of protection that's around us, I feel it every single day. And we're just not going to stop.
I know you're not. Keep fighting for those farmers.
Thank you, Scott. I will. Never rest. That's right.